Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I love me some Holy Trinity Sunday. Our sermon text for today is from the gospel reading, Jesus' words to the Pharisee Nicodemus. Ah, good old Nicky. Jesus told him that baptism was necessary for salvation. He said, "Amen, amen," or as we like to say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, baptism, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." John 3, 5 and 6. Nicodemus, being like us, a man of limited understanding, human, sinful, not God, had a hard time understanding what Jesus was saying. Just couldn't quite get it. So Jesus said to him, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" John 3:12. And the short answer to Jesus' question is by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how. That's what Jesus is getting at. We celebrated the giving of the Holy Spirit last Sunday. It was Pentecost Sunday. The Spirit comes, and he is how we can believe the heavenly things that Jesus teaches, that God teaches us, even though in our sinful state, our fallen and limited, broken state, we have a hard time grasping earthly things. The only way Nicodemus, or you, me, any of us, can believe in the revelation of God's heavenly things, his truth, is by the power of that invisible Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And this is precisely why we so desperately need baptism. We don't need to enter our mother's womb for a second time. Although maybe one of us wants to, more comfortable there. No, our second birth is from the church's womb. Through the breaking of the baptismal waters, we enter God's perfect kingdom. The environment that nurtures life. It is spiritual. From the Father, the result of being conceived, not by the will of flesh, not by the will of man, but by the Spirit of God, through the seed of his word, implanted in the soil of our hearts. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. John 3:8. Jesus isn't saying that the work of the Holy Spirit or any of the heavenly things that he teaches are incomprehensible. This isn't like, well, it's just, you know, the wind and it's here, there. I don't know how it works. No. He's saying God is free to show mercy and grace to mankind as he wills. And that he has. That he does, that he will continue to show you mercy. As St. Paul was inspired to record in our Romans reading, "For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid?" God is not doing something because he owes us something. He's not repaying us for our coming to worship him. He's not repaying us because we put some money in the offering plate. He's not repaying us for any good deeds that we do. We don't get to tell God, give him counsel on how he should act. That's not how it works. We don't give God gifts or counsel or anything. It's the other way around. He is gracious and he is merciful. From his very being, he sent his son then to give us the gift of redemption. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Because he is love. And that is a loving thing to do, to redeem us. He sent his son to be your substitute on the cross. Not because you earned it, but actually because you didn't. He now takes your punishment. He's your get out of hell free card. And now he has sent his spirit to be your counselor throughout this life, that you may at least begin to understand, at least begin to understand the Lord's mind. What makes him tick? The short answer of the short answer is love for you. He has sent his spirit so that you would understand or begin to understand that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He is not condemning us, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That whoever believes in him, in Jesus, should not perish, but rather have eternal life. Given that in our fallenness, we struggle to comprehend even earthly things. We need the Holy Spirit to understand heavenly things indeed. And with the Holy Spirit, not only do we begin to understand those heavenly things, as much as God has revealed them to us, but we also gain further understanding about earthly things. So it's like a total bonus when we believe in Jesus. I was recently introduced to a song that gets to this truth. The chorus, I'm going to butcher this, but the chorus says, life on solid ground, I listen to the higher sound. When you listen to the sound of the Spirit's voice, the higher sound, the heavenly sound, you live your life on the solid ground of Jesus, who was crucified and resurrected for the forgiveness of your sins. The Spirit delivers the higher sound of Jesus' voice into your hearts through your eyes when you read your Bible in study or devotion, and through your ears when you hear Scripture being preached or being read. As you're listening to me preach the gospel right now, the Spirit, God's higher sound, heavenly sound, is reinforcing your earthly life that will last forever in Christ, which he gave you through baptism, bracing you against the world and building you up on the firm foundation of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. You, dear Christian, have been given a life on solid ground through the hearing of the higher sound. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. Romans 11:33. We need the Spirit to open our ears to God's higher sounds, Jesus' voice, so our minds can perceive the things of heaven. The higher sound of the Spirit's voice brings us to believe in heavenly things. Faith in Jesus Christ crucified in your place, resurrected for you. He enables us to look at these wonderful mysteries. These wonderful mysteries. How he can take our place on the cross. How he can give us his true body and blood in with and under the bread and wine. How he can birth you to life eternal through simple water in a bowl or flowing down a river. It's a heavenly mystery. But he gives us eyes to see it. When working faith in the heart of the unbeliever and when encouraging Christians in the faith they already have, the Spirit often uses earthly things to firm up our faith. Human knowledge. The Trinity is a prime example of how we need to have examples to help us understand things. It's a heavenly mystery. It's hard to grasp. How can something be three in one? Triune. It seems at first to be nonsensical. irrational, but it's not. The Spirit teaches us in the Scriptures that God is three persons in one essence. There is a distinction. And this distinction is important. This is why the Athanasian Creed is so long, because it doesn't break reason's law of non-contradiction because of that distinction between person and essence. God is one in his essence, but three in his persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This means that the Trinity goes beyond human reason, yes, but not against human reason. It is still logical in all of its complexity. This is what is so carefully articulated in that lengthy creed. It's not irrational to believe in the triune God, just as it's not irrational to believe that the bread and wine contain in with and under it the body and blood of Jesus, or that you can be born a second time through the waters of holy baptism. It is not irrational at all. We worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, the essence. It's logical, though delightfully mysterious and beautiful. The earthly things known as the principles of logic and reason help us to believe in the heavenly things of the Trinity as the Spirit enlightens our minds. Let me give you an example from one of my favorite topics under the sun, math. I was saying that sarcastically. It was not a lie. It's sarcasm for rhetorical effect. Just unless you think I'm sinning. Critics of Christianity would have you think that belief in the Trinity is foolishness, willful ignorance of the truth. After all, they say 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. Insisting that it equals 1 is, well, stupid. To which you can look them square in the eyes and say, I agree 100%. So they'll ask, you agree that it's stupid to believe in the Trinity? Of course not, you should reply. And they will get frustrated. They will look at you like you're a weirdo. And I suggest you let them simmer in that confusion for as long as possible before you lose them. And then say, I agree that it's stupid that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals anything other than 3. Human reason makes that obvious. And then explain to them that they're using the wrong mathematical equation as an analogy for the Trinity. Tell them that their elementary education would be useful in refuting a Trinity that is triplex. But as it is, Christians believe in a triune God, and there is a difference. And then ask them, what does 1 times 1 times 1 equal? Perhaps they are educated enough to know that it equals 1. And tell them that is more like the triune God. Not a perfect analogy, but getting closer. The Holy Spirit has revealed the heavenly mystery of the Trinity, and he even enables us to use earthly things like math to understand this mystery, to assist us in starting to grasp it, and even to start to explain it. The higher sound of God's word gives wisdom and places us on solid ground to live our life. Your life is on the most solid ground conceivable. Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected for you. He has brought you to life through your second birth, given you the ability to understand the heavenly things of God that you need to know to be restored. You do need to know them. That's what the word is for. To be restored to your rightful place with the Trinity in heaven for eternity. By the higher sound of God's word, you are now living a life that is unending and triumphant over evil, a life of perfection on the solid ground of paradise. And so we read in closing, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved, that you might be saved through him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.